have to tell you that I did learn one thing as this last week went by. I found out that when you're almost as wide as the road, gawking has to be brought down to a minimum. Yeah. Because those rumble bars alongside the road, even my dogs had moved from the front of the... Rilla wanted to lay right there beside me. And every time I'd hit a rumble bar, she'd go to the back. And so I understand why Carol gets a little grumbly when I hit a lot of them. And trust me, I hit a lot of them. Because when you're that wide... But as we was coming into this little town in... And I mean, it's a little town. It looked like there was only maybe 20 houses and maybe one business and a post office, but I didn't even see a gas station. But as we was pulling into town, on the right-hand side was this grain bin that looked like somebody had given it to their dog to play with. And I mean, there's holes in it. It's still kind of together, but I mean, it looks like it's been chewed on and what have you. I mean, it is in bad shape. And then out of the corner of my eye, I look over, and there's a big Baptist church. It's huge. It's got a seat like 300 people out in the middle of almost nowhere. And they are having open-air services this morning. There was no top left over the sanctuary. Now, part of the other building, you know. So we can just thank God that we are where we are and that He allowed the weather to move through here, because it could have been worse. And I think once in a while, as Christians, we kind of forget to thank God for those types of things, because actually, that's what it's all about. You know, as we walk this walk that He's put us on, as we have made our decision to be His people, we need to stop and realize that it's not always going to be great. I'm sure those people in that Baptist church are not that happy this morning, because I'm sure they're somewhere else, probably, because it didn't look like the rest of the building was structurally all that sound. But we can thank God for watching over us. And watching over them, because I would hope that nobody was there when it went through, but who knows. But I had never seen a grain bin, and it was a big one, like the ones that Bauk has down here. And it looked about half that size when I seen it. And it did. It looked like somebody had just taken a bite out of it in places. I mean, it just tore it up something fierce. It must have blew out or something. I don't know. But I say that because I think once in a while we get the idea that as Christians, we just have to say one time, we're good to go. Thank you, Lord, for the free gift. And we leave it at that, right? And sometimes we don't grow from that point. And today we're going to look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And I'm not sure that it does not say that, but I am pretty sure that it says that we're supposed to grow and move forward, and we'll get to that. Ephesians 2, starting with the first verse. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in these who are disobedient. We were all there at one point. We were all sinners short of the glory of God. And Paul here is trying to help everybody realize that it doesn't make any difference if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't make any difference if you grew up in the church or you didn't. It doesn't make any difference if you've never heard about God before this day. We're all in the same boat. We all started in the same place. We're all on the same walk. And we can either make that choice to continue to follow the evil one. He never actually calls him the devil right here, but that's what he's getting at. That we can either be a servant to the devil or we can be a servant to God. Either way, we're a servant. You know, we talk about the free gift. Somehow, you know, a free gift is God died on a cross for our sins, right? He died for us that we might have eternal life. But we have to make choices. We have to make the choice to become, and we have to make the choice to follow. And both those things have to happen. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and followed its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Basically, what Paul's saying here is, because of where we started, because of the fact that we were sinners and we needed God's help, that we all started there. And we were all subject to the final judgment. We were all headed down that road. I don't care how good a Christian your parents were, you were headed there till you made a decision. We are none of us that have to be there. I don't care if your grandparents are the best Christians in the world, that will never get you through the final judgment. The only way we get through the final judgment, people, is if God allows it through Christ Jesus, because He died on a cross for us. That's the only way. He atoned for everything we've ever done or ever thought of doing. And unless we make that choice, it does us no good. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We were dead. Not literally or physically, but we were dead to Christ. We were dead to God because we hadn't made that choice. And if Christ wouldn't have died on the cross, we would still be dead. Not by anything that we technically done, but it's because Adam and Eve decided to do something they weren't supposed to. They ate of the fruit. And I find it interesting that it didn't take God long to step in and make sure that they didn't eat of the fruit for everlasting life. Now, I find it also interesting that they didn't eat from that tree first. I just wonder if that devil didn't really want them to do that. He's the one that caused all this, right? The devil's the one that leads us down the path to make sinful choices. Why didn't he have them get eternal life first? It was available. Just something to think about. As I was reading through my commentaries, that point just kept coming up, and I just thought in the back of my head, why not? Why this? And I really believe it's because God was still in control. God knew what was happening when it was happening. God did not look the other way. God made sure that if they made a mistake, it was fixable. Because in Genesis it tells us that we have to get them out of the garden so they don't eat of the fruit of the tree for everlasting life. So I find that interesting. But anyway, I'll get off my rabbit trail. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age He might show an incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. John 3:16 says that He so loved the world that He sent His only Son to die. Right? And that's what this is saying. That God's taking care of the problem. He has fixed that so we do have a chance to be in His kingdom. We do have a chance to be Christ's followers. And so we have to thank God for that. And for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There's nothing we can do. We cannot do enough nice things. We can't give enough money to the church. We can't come to church often enough. We can't live our lives in such a way that we could ever accomplish God's grace and salvation. It's not about how good we are. It's not about how we live our lives, so to speak. It's not how what we could do to make that happen, because there's nothing we can. I don't care where you want to look this up in the Bible as far as Christ is concerned. There is only one way, and it's through Him. The Bible is very clear on that. And He died on a cross that we might have eternal life. That He would take care of our sins. He would take care of those things that we had done wrong. And make us holy enough to stand before God at judgment. And there's nothing we can do about that. It's a free gift. I'm not arguing that fact. I believe that fact. And I believe that that free gift is always there for the taking. I believe at some point in our life, God comes to us and allows us, or actually calls us, to be Christians. And for each of us, it's going to be at a different time in our life or at a different time period. It doesn't happen all at once. And we don't come to know Christ. We don't make that choice of that taking that free gift and then all become super Christians from that point on. This Bible never says that. Too many places it says that we have to work out our own salvation, that we're supposed to do what God asks us to do. The Bible tells us, if you love me, you will obey me. So while it's a free gift, there's got to be something else there. Well, God sent His Son to die on a cross that we might have eternal life. There's got to be something else there. Otherwise, we could just thank God for His free grace and gift of eternal life and then just go back to living our lives the same sinful way as we always did, and we'd all be good, right? If you believe that. And I'm sorry to say there's denominations in our country today that believe that. They don't preach that, but they believe it. And I think that's the part about it that is probably bothers me the most. If you talk to their pastors, none of them believe that they can just go live any old way they want to. Otherwise, what would they get up on Sunday morning and preach about? How would they lead people from doing the things they shouldn't do to somewhere where they should be? If they honestly believed, all you had to do was say one prayer and you're good to go to heaven. That's fire insurance, right? All you're doing is making sure you're not going to hell. That's what it's all about. So, let's go to verse 10. For we are God's workmanship. Workmanship here is the same word in the Greek as we get our word poem. So why couldn't we say, for we are God's poem? Every poem is put together in certain structure. Now, I'm not an English teacher, trust me. In fact, I ain't nothing, right? There's just nothing about English that I enjoyed, to be honest with you. I read one book in all of high school, and that's because she told me that there would be no questions out of Cliff Notes. Now, I was good at Cliff Notes, and I made it through high school with Cliff Notes in one book, and I always thought that was pretty good for me. But I don't know sentence structure, but I understand poems enough to know that certain things either rhyme or they don't rhyme. And if they don't rhyme, then there's a certain cadence or way it's put together that you have something that makes a poem. And it's an artistic thing. It's like drawing a nice picture or making something with your hands or creating paper crafts or whatever it is. A well-written poem is piece of art. And that's what this is saying here. That we are God's art. When God put us together in perfect harmony with Him and our world. Now we have a problem. We fell off the wagon. Okay, we were pushed by Adam and Eve. I don't care how you look at it. And so we aren't in sync with God. We are not exactly what He would like. But through Christ, we come back to that poem. We come back to the right measures and the right dots and I's and commas that are supposed to be in there to where you, when you read it, it sounds great. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Let me read that again. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We were created to do good things. We were created to make sure that we help the poor. We were created that we would give all the money that we have given over the years to missions. You know, we've been on the top end of that missions thing from a long time before I got here. I was in, when I was in J-Term, the guy that used to be head of the foundation, he called me up to his office and he showed me some of the numbers that this church has put out. He says, it's phenomenal. Good works. We didn't do that to get us into heaven, did we? We do those things because God has called us to that. He's also called us to grow this church. He's called us to help those that don't have what we have. Like the guy that just had a baby and now they have to leave because he doesn't have a job. We need to come alongside of those kind of people and help them out from time to time. That's the good works. We should stop and pray for one another so the tornado don't rip through our neighborhood. That's good works. And God's going to make sure we know what those are. We aren't out here on a desert island without help. Christ said that they would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to make sure that we understood. send the Comforter, that we might understand the Bible better, that we might understand God better. But you know what the best thing is? He helps us understand ourselves better. You know, there's certain things in this life that I have found that once I get started, I have trouble. Come on in, Gunner. good job, Gunner. I have found that there's certain things I have trouble walking away from if I have just one. Now, I've never had problems with Lay's potato chips. I want you to know that right up front. Not a big deal. I can eat a lot of Lay's potato chips, but I can eat one and walk away because I've done it so many times just to prove I could, right? But it takes willpower. But now glazed donuts, on the other hand, are a whole new ball game. If I have one bite, I'm going to finish it. And if Carol isn't looking, I'm going to have another. You know, she's partially, you know, we're supposed to be one. She's part of my conscience when it comes to that glazed donut. But I'm better off if I never eat that glazed donut. If I eat one glazed donut in the morning, I'm hungry all day, and all I want is more sugar. That's the way my body's made. God wants us to have that kind of need for Him. He wants us to get up in the morning, pick up our cross, and want Him all day. Not just when it's convenient. Not when it's just Sunday morning and I have time. Not when it's Wednesday night and yeah, I should take the kids, but man, I'd really like to stay home and watch TV. I'm not even sure what's on Wednesday nights on TV anymore. And you know what? Doesn't bother me. Before I came back to the Lord, I could tell you what was on TV every night from 6 o'clock till midnight on almost every station. I don't care anymore. Because God's going to walk with us and change our thought processes. That is part of that free gift. We cannot have salvation without transformation. We cannot have a free gift of grace without allowing it to change us. If that free gift of grace is not changing us, we need to go back and regroup. We need to go back and reestablish who God is in our lives. Because it should transform us. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of us transform slower than others. It's taken me 25, 30 years to decide I don't need a donut, period. We're going to make missteps. We're going to have problems. The idea of repentance has nothing to do with asking God to come into your life again. It's allowing God to change your life again and change it daily. And it ought to. God wants to work in our life every day, not just on Sundays, not when we're having a revival, not when it's convenient. But God wants to work in our lives every day. And it says here, God prepared in advance for us to do these things. Not only are we supposed to do good works, but He prepared a plan for each one of us, and that plan has to be worked out. Now, some of us are going to fight with that plan a little bit. Some of us are going to have to, once in a while, back up and say, okay, God, I goofed up, and we'll move forward. But God planned for us to do things in our lives that changed the life of others. We aren't here just because we need to go to heaven. We aren't here just because this is a great place to come on Sunday morning. We're here to allow God to fill us to the place where we can't help but help those around us. That we can't help but tell others about that free gift of grace and eternal life. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for walking with us, for guiding us, for directing us. We ask, Lord, that you walk with us in such a way that we know where we're going. We know that you're in control. We know that we have no worries. But also help us to see what it is that we need to do in our lives. Who we need to help. How we might pray. What we might change. So guide and direct us as we do the good works that you have called us to do. That you've laid out ahead of time. That you have planned for us. And help us to do the best we can do. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen.